Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast day. It's an all-pundit show with Susan Fisher, Aaron West, and Russell Rowe. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Bank Saloon in Carson City in their conference room. We have an all-pundit show going today and a great lineup. Aaron West is here, CEO of the Nevada Builders Alliance, and also you are our host here at the Bank Saloon, so thank you very much for that. Susan Fisher is Senior Vice President at McDonald Carano Government Affairs, and Russell Rowe is Managing Principal with Rowe Law Group. So let me start out with you, Susan, and the rules for going to the legislature at this point. Is this encouraging you to spend more time going to Carson City or not?
I will. I'll definitely be heading out down to the building this week. I haven't been in Carson City. We were in the office a little while and then decided this is silly. So we haven't been in the office in Carson. We just went back to Reno and Las Vegas offices, but we'll definitely be in Carson now.
Okay, and how difficult is it for you to be able to get permission to go into the building and see legislators?
Not difficult at all. Actually, we've been having them contact us and say, you want to come visit? You need a hall pass? So.
Really? Okay, well, that's very good news, actually. Russell, you know, normally you'd be in Carson City all the time for the session. You're back in Las Vegas now. You were in Carson City for a couple of weeks. You'll be coming back, correct?
That's correct. And I was in Carson City last week, Sam, and actually had a meeting in the building on last Thursday. I think that was the first day we were allowed to go in. And turns out, not only was the process really smooth, you know, I got approved preliminarily through online because I've been vaccinated. So they proved that up. And checked me off and then, you know, went through the procedure through that mobile site off Fifth Street. That was really smooth. But then once you're in the building, which I didn't realize from the initial communique from the legislature, that once you're in the building and you have that sticker, you can go in and out of the building the rest of the day as long as you have that sticker with you. So it really is kind of like the golden ticket. And so I was able to, although I had two meetings in the building, I ended up speaking with a half dozen legislators who were really glad to see someone other than other legislators.
Right. And that's been, Aaron, that's been one of the funny things about this is that legislators have been saying, we don't usually see each other during a session. And we've been walking up and down the halls and they're the only people we are seeing.
Right.
The nighttime scene in Carson City, which now you have become an expert because of the Bank Saloon, is thriving, correct?
Yeah, it's awesome to see the energy, you know, which is what we've come to expect with the legislature, right? There's a significant financial impact to Carson City during the legislative time, and certainly there was some concern with it being shut down. But we're excited to welcome all of our lobbyist friends back to town and hopefully get more public down here and participating in the process, because that's my concern. Is I think up until now, the process of really, you know, vetting and contemplating legislation has been challenged.
So now let's talk about money. So Susan, we have an interesting conundrum here, because we have a situation where the legislature has to come up with a budget for the governor to sign, but we know that federal money is coming right behind that in vast quantities. How is this playing out as far as you can see with you and your clients?
Well, I have the feeling that there's going to have to be a special session just for dealing with the money, that they may punt on some of the budget stuff. I mean, obviously they have to close the budgets by a certain date, but if they don't know exactly what's coming and how it can be allocated, I think they're gonna have to, unless they don't need any legislation, but if there's something else that they wanna be funding, we're gonna have to do a special session.
Russell, you know, just in looking at the education budget, or in terms of money coming in, it looks like every dream that everybody in the education business ever thought of is going to come true with the money coming in. What concerns do you have about that volume of money and what it's to be used for?
Yeah, I think they need to not count their chickens too quickly until the federal rules come out and determine how that money can be used specifically. And I think, to Susan's point, I think that's really the holdup with the budget process for Nevada, where they really can't distribute those monies and put them into the budget until they know how to use them. And that really forces the issue for a special session, which is, as I understand, is what's going to happen. I think the real problem, Sam, that you raise is trying to keep legislators from building a giant list of wants that is going to make that process more difficult. And frankly, perhaps a special session that has a more limited agenda can be managed better and planned better would be the best way to try to distribute $3
billion. $3 billion, that is a stunning amount. Aaron, you know, we're gonna have the Economic Forum numbers coming out next month, but how difficult is it gonna be when obviously Nevada is coming back strongly from all the indicators we're seeing, and some industries like construction have not faltered anyway.
Right.
How difficult is it going to be for the Economic Forum, which is usually a very conservative number that comes from them?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be interesting. You know, we've seen some interesting initiatives this session in trying to fund what, you know, we perceive as real priorities within the state, right? And so the idea that Do we fund those on the backs of existing business, like, you know, some of the attempts at trying to fund affordable housing, which initial bills contemplated putting that onto new business, new construction, things of that nature, and maybe this is a real opportunity for us to create some trust funds, if you will, to establish, you know, real kind of high priority areas for funding.
Russell, I see you nodding.
Yeah, I agree with that approach, and you know whether it's going to survive through our process is another thing. But the idea of putting some trust funds in place, certainly, you know, to fund unemployment insurance, so employers don't have to take a hit and a bump to pay off the debt that's been created as a result of the pandemic, and that seems like a really sound approach.
We're also hearing rumors of increases in the commerce tax, Susan, you know, based on discussions with the mining industry and the legislators. What are you hearing?
I haven't heard much about commerce tax recently. If they are having those talks, I'm not in those. The mining issue, certainly there's a lot of negotiation going on with that. That's going to be an end game, and there will be something in there that will allow the Democrats to get 2 Republican votes in each house. So there will be something that the Republicans want. There will be some games in there.
So Aaron, with all this money coming towards education, what does this do for the education associations and trying to raise gaming tax and things like that. Does that end up going out the window until after the session here?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of us would kind of put it out there that the gaming or the revenue increases proposed by the education side of things were kind of misguided anyway. So hopefully through some of these, these dollars coming in, we can kind of appease some of those interests and really, again, get back to having that serious conversation about how we fund certain things within our state, right? I mean, all we do is talk about how broken our property tax system is, and yet all we do is keep proposing new incremental taxes, whether it's on individual industries or on industry as a whole, to try and fill those holes. So.
Russell, property tax has been a fascinating topic because the way it's been running for the last several years, it's unconstitutional anyway, with a difference between how it's taxed on private property and businesses. The problem is that if you change it to be constitutional, then everybody's taxes will go up. Is there any appetite for that you're hearing?
None. Zero.
I'm shocked.
Zero appetite. Zero. All right. And on the commerce tax, the only one I know of is a proposal to clarify how the tax is applied to the convention industry. The intent for that when the commerce tax was adopted was to, I can't recall if it was an exemption or a lower rate, but it wasn't applied correctly by the Department of Taxation. So there is legislation to try to get that clarified through just being brought by the LVCBA.
So let's talk about the announcement this weekend. The Resorts World is going to open up in June. What does this tell you?
It tells me that the folks on the Strip want to get open and are looking forward to having people back. I mean, Resorts World, as you know, has been a project for quite some time when it began by Boyd Gaming. But you drive by that site and it's just about ready to go. It's going to have its own connection through a boring company tunnel to the convention center. I think that's going to be a really impressive property that hopefully will drive folks back to Las Vegas, which is what we need.
Well, Susan, what I'm hearing from every property I'm talking to, whether it's a locals property or a larger property, is that the pent-up demand is just going through the roof in terms of booking, not just for people traveling to Las Vegas and across northern Nevada, but also advanced bookings for conventions, parties, etc. What are you hearing?
Well, it's what I'm seeing. I drove past the Reno Sparks Convention Center on Saturday. The parking lot was absolutely packed. I don't know if they're doing volleyball games or something there, but absolutely packed with cars and people walking all over the place, running across Virginia Street to go to Dutch Boys Coffee. And so they're there. And you drive past Grand Sierra Resort. That parking lot is full every single day, every single night.
Man, that's great news. Let's take a break. We'll come back with this extraordinary panel after this timeout.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your furnace breaks down today? We fix it today. Why freeze for days while your furnace is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get warm again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 and we'll fix it today. That's 323-5585 or online at nevadaheating.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue on with our All Pundits show with this great lineup. Aaron West is here, Russell Rowe, and Susan Fischer. So, Aaron, on a federal level, you know, the next big plan coming out is infrastructure, but there's been a lot of concern, as well as a lot of praise, for the definition of infrastructure. How does the construction industry feel about that?
Well, we're pretty simplistic on our approach. Infrastructure means, you know, transportation infrastructure, communications infrastructure, and we, you know, continue to have conversations and have for generations about the condition of our infrastructure, right? We have, unfortunately, we have some funding mechanisms in the gas tax, which are, again, completely flawed, right? It was a system that was developed back in the 50s, and we're trying to apply it to, you know, electric vehicles and high energy efficient vehicles and things of that nature. And so we're just gonna continue to struggle to fund those types of projects. And so whether it's at the state level or federal level, it'd be awesome just to see clean proposals that are really thoughtful. And unfortunately, politics gets in the middle of it too often.
Russell, has it surprised you the definition of infrastructure has changed so much from one year to the next?
I wish I'd say yes, Sam, but unfortunately, no. And I represent the engineering community. I believe Susan represents the state board. And, you know, I mean, putting aside the question of whether the federal government should be spending another $2 trillion. It's great to hear. We've discussed getting infrastructure up to par at the federal level for quite some time. So, you know, I've heard it many times. I'll believe it when I see it, but it sounds like there may be a chance to get something done this session of Congress.
Susan, the amount of money is just stunning. I mean, yeah. Beyond that, though, I mean, the definitions of infrastructure have become so broad that it doesn't even, to me, really resemble infrastructure, but just a whole change in political philosophy for the nation.
Well, infrastructure is everything from poles and wires and pipelines to roads and bridges and irrigation canals. So there is a lot of work. There's a lot of places where they can be spending the money. I don't anticipate that a lot of it's going to be going into electric infrastructure because those are privately held entities. But there may be some assistance there, especially when you look at what poles and wires infrastructure flaws, the results in California with the fires and everything else and with the rolling blackouts. So I think that there are a lot of places where it can be spent, but my God, it is a staggering dollar amount.
And just to go back for that for a second, the grid itself, we heard all about Texas, but the truth of the matter is that the East and West grids are not that stable to begin with. And they could really use not only, you know, infrastructure strengthening, but my bigger concern is cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely correct. Yeah. And I think for the building industry also, we need to be able to figure out how to get pipelines, poles and wires and pipelines to them and gas infrastructure in a less expensive manner or less expensive to the final end consumers. And it shouldn't be on the backs of developers to take all of the infrastructure to the consumers when governmental entities want to grow.
Well, Aaron, you know, obviously you're not going to disagree. I couldn't imagine for one second with what Susan was saying. But at the same time, it seems like this plan to completely get rid of natural gas in the next few years is out the window, at least for this session.
Yeah, although it was a bit troubling that the governor and the majority leader and the speaker issued a joint statement on Friday saying that in their mind that was still a priority. When I think a lot of us within that represent business interests, you know, certainly looked at the flaws within the proposal that was on the table and, the negative financial impact that it would have on really disadvantaged communities where you're taking away a very efficient, very affordable utility and potentially taking that off the table. So I understand, you know, the governor issued his initiative for climate, you know, change, and they came out with a big fancy report in November. And at the time we said, you know, this is a concern. And they said, oh, well, it's just a plan. It's just kind of a blueprint. You know, we'll see how we get there. And we see the effects, right? I mean, if you dangle a carrot like that in front of legislators, they're going to bite. And they're taking several bites at that apple. So it still continues to be a challenge. And I don't think it's going to, you know, be off our radar anytime soon.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be right back after this timeout.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7@7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7@7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers with a great all-pundit show here going with Russell Rowe, managing partner of the Rowe Law Group, Aaron West, CEO of the Nevada Builders Alliance, and Susan Fisher, Senior Vice President of McDonald Carano Government Affairs. So, of course, in the middle of this session, we have the governor's race poking up its ugly head 2 years in advance here. John Lee changes from Democrat to Republican. Not really a surprise to people who follow politics in the state, right?
No, not a surprise at all for Mayor Lee to switch parties. I mean, he's pretty much a Republican anyway in the way that he operates. And he was a Republican once before, many years ago. When he first ran for the Assembly, he ran as a Republican and didn't get the endorsement of the Republican Party, and so he switched.
Russell, another one that's popped up now is Mark Hutchison. It had been talked about in private for a while, but it seems pretty public. What are your thoughts on Mark Hutchison coming into this?
Well, personally, I think he would be a fantastic governor. But Mark's got a lot of credentials, you guys know. Whether he's going to make it through the primary and get the kind of support he needs, I think that's a lot going to depend a lot on who else may get into the race. But you know, looking at the field and the prospects of some of the folks who are sniffing around, I think he's got a fair shot. Him and it seems like Sheriff Joe Lombardo is increasing his interest as well.
Yes, and that's a fascinating choice if that were to be the elect. I can't think of another sheriff or police chief that has run for the governor's race. That seems like an interesting ride there. Aaron, the other one that I want to throw out there, of course, is Mark Amadei. We're hearing a lot about behind the scenes stuff, but he hasn't come out and made an official announcement yet. Right. Is the problem, though, for the Republicans that you have too many people in the primary, they kill each other, and then it just leaves the field open?
Yeah, well, I think the problem comes down to our primary system, right, which got changed not too long ago, and it's created, you know, we talk about it, man, if we could just get some of the partisanship out of politics, right, if we could get back to, you know.
And the money, right.
Right, yeah, exactly, and money. But if we could, you know, if we could get back to a little more common sense, right, a little more centrist, you know, let's get a little more collaborative. But unfortunately, our primary system does not facilitate that, right? I mean, literally, you need the hardcore of both bases voting in that primary, and ultimately you're probably going to get the most, you know, hardcore in terms of values. So it's going to continue to be a challenge, I think, for both parties. How do you get that, you know, that great candidate through that primary? But the other thing to consider is that, I mean, the independents could be, you know, the nonpartisans could be, you know, number just as many as the Democrats and Republicans here very soon. So at what point do independent candidates start becoming more viable?
When they get lots of money. That's where we have to leave it, everyone. Thank you all very much. Really appreciate you doing this early on a Monday morning, and we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Finish. Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers on television, radio, audio and video, podcasts, and YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast coming to you from Carson City. See you then.